Bye bye.
I really, after watching the trailer for 2 minutes, I was like, bah, bah, bah.
As a parent, I would be over. Like at the end of my rope. You look so cute.
Thank you.
I really like your outfit.
I got up and I said, what is the loudest outfit that I can make?
Yeah.
And I think this is it.
Yeah. And I love it.
But it has the inspiration goes deeper than just that.
Oh?
Yes.
Please tell me what the story
is. Miss Frizzle. Is this Miss Frizzle coded?
It kind of is.
This is giving like first grade, preschool, second grade maybe.
Yes.
Definitely not third grade. I feel like once you're in third grade, you're in business cash.
Yeah. If the shorts were less hoochie daddy, this would be an outfit that, like, a third-grade teacher would wear to school.
Would this be a good third-grade teacher outfit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
If you didn't have Hoochie Daddy shorts on.
Yeah, like, I feel like I'm going to talk to you about geography.
Yes.
Or, like, but in the American way, where I'm not actually going to really explain anything that well.
Yes.
Or, like, history, but I'm not actually going to teach you any history that actually mattered
none
or actually how it happened.
None of the things that make America look bad. None of those things.
But,
you would never do that, though.
I think the cloth stuff, I will say, I am caked up in these. I am... The bakery
does,
is open for
it
business.
It does outline your booty cheeks.
I know. I feel like, I'm drawing way too much attention.
I like
But also, there's just so much. I can only fit so much. These shorts are technically correct size.
Yes. It's because they're linen, my love.
The linen. I'm not used to linen, and I'm loving it.
All of my overalls are like linen.
I know.
Linen,
don't rub it in. Are you going to really rub in the overalls right now?
No. All I'm telling you is that my overalls are either linen or pure cotton, which when you start the day... Depending on the size that you have, like the shorter alls that I have, those ones like fit perfect. They're like snug and like hold themselves up.
Yeah.
By the end of the day, they're too short or too big.
They loose like
and
jeans.
They fall down. They're like but as you wear them, they stretch and they get like
the stretch is happening.
Yeah, you have to like sort of mold them to your body.
When I first put them on, I'm like, oh, these are not right.
Yeah,
these are not right.
Initially, you're like, is this right? But it will get better.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to wearing these out and about.
They look very cute.
I keep coming. What's that song? Not that I've been a nasty girl.
Who's going to match my freak?
Yes, that.
Yeah.
But I think that. But
who's going to match my
case,
freak? Yeah.
Which is like, who's going to match our weird?
Yes.
I think that every night before we go to bed.
Yes.
And we get our little zoomies.
Yes.
I think we played charades for like 5 minutes while we were doing our mouthwash the other night.
Yeah, while you were doing your mouthwash,
Yeah.
It's very
cute. Were we successful?
We're pretty good at it.
We're really good at our hands.
Yeah. We're just going to leave that there.
Okay.
First and foremost, I do want to address the thing.
I think we should before you...
We have filmed a few main channel videos at this point, the time that we're recording this, and I've talked about it there, so hopefully I'm not boring y'all to death with this. But I can't really emote very well right now. I didn't realize how much I emoted with my mouth.
I feel like I've always known, but now that you can't, I'm like,
yeah.
I'm keenly aware, and also at all times of the day now, I'm like, oh my God, you're so mad at me. You're so frustrated with me. I know you're not, actually.
No,
but I didn't
realize
how much...
I have a very flat affect without, like, being able to move my mouth around.
I didn't realize how much I look for...
Yeah.
It's like in Inside Out, too, where they're like, did you see that look? Did you see that look?
And they like, zoom in.
Yeah. Frame 64.
Which, by the way, loved that movie. We made a whole main channel video about it already. It should be out soon.
Am I a baby? Like, from when the movie started, something happened to me.
Yeah.
And I broke. Like, something broke in my brain and my little heart.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, even from the moment the movie started and they're in the little control center, I'm like...
I know!
Nothing even happened yet. The movie's been on for 30 fucking seconds, Aaron.
You know what it is?
What is it?
You opened the floodgates.
Oh, did I? Because I had them bottled up for so long.
Do you remember when I was in therapy in, like, 20... It was probably 2019.
Okay.
2018, maybe.
Okay.
That I told you, I was like, I feel like such a fucking baby. Like, I cry about everything all the time.
Yes.
And it was because I was doing work around feeling my feelings and not intellectualizing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a lifetime's worth of emotion that's been bottled up in there comes flooding out of you. You start crying about everything. But also, it's kind of freeing. It's, like, very cathartic.
Remember?
To me, anyways,
The other day, you asked me if I had any secrets from you, or secrets. We were talking about the secrets from And I think I have one. I'll share it with you if you want. Yes. I don't care if everyone
knows. And the whole internet, apparently.
I won't say exactly what show or whatever it's from. I'm sure you'll be able to glean what it's from.
Yeah.
But there's a couple songs, and they're just instrumental. They're like orchestral music.
Yes.
From one of our favorite animes.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I'll just put it on.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just cry.
I love that.
If I'm like really feeling like demoralized, especially like working on music and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, all right, just got to like crank out the feels.
I have a whole playlist. It's called In My Bullshit.
Yes.
Maybe I'll share it. If I remember, I'll link it in the description that I listen to when I am sad and either need sad music to cry to. Cause like you can't really just be listening to like
the Joe Bros, you know,
or like Katy
Perry, or
not listening to the Joe Bros.
Neither of us have ever listened to the Jonas Brothers, and I don't know why that popped in my head. I have absolutely no good fucking reason.
I was gonna say like Mr. Ives or something, but probably a good share of our audience is like, who is that?
That's why I wanted to pick something that was pop. I don't know why, like, I said I don't. I've never listened to the Jonas Bros. I've never put them on a playlist. Also, I'm pretty sure are all of them problematic or just the one?
I don't remember.
Sophie Turner, is that?
I don't know. I truly don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I listen to a lot of like 90s, like California rock. And that just doesn't hit the same when you're sad or when you need to cry.
California rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Like punk. Yeah. California punk.
Punk. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
We love punk.
But yeah, I have a whole playlist and it's such a nice emotional release to just really let it all out.
God, I could have been doing that this whole time and I was...
I know.
Not letting myself.
I know. It's like.
What a waste of time.
It's almost like if you learned that you were only like emptying your bladder half the amount this whole time.
Okay, but for real, I really feel like sometimes I'm like, there has to be more piss in here.
Yeah.
Like, no, how do we keep doing this? No, we're not doing this.
We're not talking about pee on the pod.
This. No, we're not
Anyways,
doing this.
Anyways, we should circle back because I need to tell people why
story.
I can't
I
emote.
Got my...
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you guys sort of a brief and abridged version because it is kind of a long story. But basically, I have been diagnosed with something called trigeminal neuralgia, which is apparently a rare neurological disorder.
Only for you.
I know. That affects, typically it's people's faces. It's usually, like most often, on only one side of the face. For me, it's the right side of my face. That it's like terrible shooting. Like,
you describe it as licking a car battery.
Yeah, it's because the sensation, it sort of varies. Sometimes if it's just like a little bit of pain, then it's just like pain through like the right side of my face.
It sounds horrible.
It's not a little bit of pain. It's a lot of pain, but it's just pain. But sometimes when it's like really bad, it is like an electric shock through the right side of my face. And the only way that I can describe it is like if you licked a 9-volt, like, you know, when you lick a battery when you're a kid, but it's like that, except if it were like the volume turned all the way up or the intensity turned all the way up. It's like a car battery. If you licked a car battery, basically, it's just like shoots up the right side of my face. And it's a terrible sensation, obviously. Basically, what happened, it started as tooth pain.
I for sure thought you...
Yeah, because I grind my teeth a fair amount. So I was like, oh, surely I've just cracked a tooth. I probably can't see it. It's like a hairline crack probably, or maybe it's on the inside. Yeah. I don't know. And it's been a while since I've had a cavity anyways. And I was like, I'm overdue. This is it. I went to the dentist. Fucking jokes on me.
I love that that's just her thing. It's like, oh, I haven't had a cavity in a really long time. I'm due.
Yeah. Lucky me. Oh, nobody saw it. Also, another perk of...
Wow, this water, it's
another
hydrophobic.
Perk of cotton and linen, yeah, is that it sort of glances off of you at first, which is quite nice. So our lovely dentist took all of the x-rays and like took little pictures even. She did a very thorough exam. She's
we have such a good dentist. Thanks,
she's
fuck.
Very wonderful, which is nice because I have terrible dentist anxiety. And she was like, there's nothing wrong with your teeth. She was like, I can't help you. She did say, she was like, you know, sometimes people have like soft tissue pain. And so if it persists, you know, see your primary care. Which, joke's on me. I've had so many primary care physicians retire.
I've never.
Like one right after the other. It's very frustrating. So the way that it works for me is that there's like a network of physicians that are all kind of in the same thing. So even if it's like a different doctor's office, if it's within the same network, then they have your records. And so you don't have to like transfer.
You're not like a new patient every time.
Well, except that when your doctor retires to put you on another doctor's schedule, they're like, well, you get lumped in with the new patients. So you have to wait.
Months.
So thankfully they did. They were like, we'll see you mid-July. But I was like, I'm going to be on vacation. Like we have a... Like, I don't know. It's like a really nice vacation that we have. Well, it's a work trip for you. It's a vacation for me.
But it's been
But it's like a very nice thing that I'm really excited about. And like we've been looking forward to. And like I really don't want it to be fucking terrible and filled with pain. So I was like, I'm going to be gone. Like, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, whatever, make the appointment. I'll figure something out. And I tried to make an appointment with another primary care doctor, and that wasn't really working. So I was like, whatever, it's fine. I went to urgent care and they were like, we can't really help you. They looked at, like, you know, my nose and my ears, and he was like, maybe you have an ear infection. He, like, lifted up my lip, even though I told them
I
was in, like, 10 out of 10 pain. He tried to touch it, and I was like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Because he thought I had cold sores. And I was like, I can assure you I don't have fucking clue. If I could see a source of the pain, I would not be here.
And I know.
I know. And sometimes, like, that happens where people will come in with, like, very obvious problems. Yeah. And, like, fair enough. That's a me thing, just because I've been, you know, sort of chronically medically involved. But I didn't end up with any answers from them. He was like, it's probably nerve pain. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
What do I do with that?
Yeah. And he was like, well, I can give you a prescription for gabapentin, which I only know about gabapentin because our dog. And people, like, therapy.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Patients or clients will take gabapentin for anxiety. It's pretty commonly prescribed because essentially it just calms your nerves down. So I didn't really, like, connect the dots that it's, like, an anti-seizure medication and is used for, like, nerve pain. So I was like, oh, okay. So he prescribes me this gabapentin and says, you know, you need to follow up with a neurologist. And I was like,
yeah, about that.
How the fuck am I meant to do that? If you, like, finding a neurologist in Tucson is a terrible business. It's really not. There's, like, three here, schedules are awful.
Yeah. And you also got boned the last time you went to
one. Yeah, that's a whole different story. I had a really negative experience with a neurologist that I've seen in the past.
Shaky hands over here.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, tried to follow up with the neurologist that I'm aware of and was told, like, no dice, basically. So I was like, okay, like, whatever. Like, I don't really know what to do. I guess, you know, I was told you can be put on a waiting list for one. And so I was like, I guess I'll do that. You know, like,
yeah,
I don't
really. For 3 months.
Yeah, I don't really have any answers. And then the pain got worse and worse, and we ended up at the emergency room because I couldn't open my mouth to, like, talk or drink or eat without, like, really, really severe pain.
Yeah.
So we went to the emergency room, and, like, I'm so proud of myself. This is a PSA, by the way, if you're able to advocate for yourself, because I was like, it's embarrassing that I've Googled this and they're not going to believe me.
Oh my God, I know.
And, like, I don't want to be that person who's like, I've diagnosed myself on the internet. And I was like, Mickey, say something, because if they don't know.
I remember I was like, should we tell them?
Yeah. I was like, if they don't know any better, and, like, you know, supposedly, according to Google, this is a somewhat rare diagnosis. So, like, that might not be their first thought. So I was like, Mickey, just say something. And I'm so glad that I did.
I'm so proud of you.
Because she came back and was like, oh, yeah, no, we, like, looked at our.
She was like, Dr. Google might have been right this time.
Yeah. Yeah. she was like, we looked at a book or something. And she was like, it all matches up. It seems like it is definitely that. And so they.
I don't know if she believed you. Also, the fact we were sitting in the emergency room. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, because you never go to the emergency room at a normal time.
Yeah.
And we were like, did that just work?
I know.
They're like, we're like, I think she actually. Uh-huh. We were, because also the first person that came in, you were like, they don't believe me.
No.
Like,
yeah.
We're gonna get out of here with nothing.
The nurse that we saw was, like, really not having it.
No, but as soon as the doctor said, they're like, oh yeah, I think you're totally right. We're gonna get you situated for all of this.
Yes.
And that nurse was the nicest person.
Yes. The nurse's affect completely switched.
I understand too that they have people that they deal with all the time.
Sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But also the fact that we're both just sitting there like.
Uh-huh.
We're like, this is the best experience we've ever had with healthcare.
Yeah, it was wild. So, yeah, very thankful for that. Because, yeah, the nurse came in and I was, like, trying to explain it. I had literally written it out on a notes app on my phone. And I handed it to you so that you could, like, read it to them. You kind of gave them,
but also, like, they were looking at me like I was fucking crazy.
I know.
Mickey can't speak.
Like, well, because they thought, I think, I was having a stroke.
Yeah.
Because I told them I couldn't open my mouth. Yeah. And I was like, no, I can open it a little bit, but it hurts a lot to talk to you. Because what's happening, basically, at the time before I was on medication, to open my mouth, every time I opened it, electric shock.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like one, it was like every time I would try to talk. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, it's terrible and scary. And also, every time I do that, it gets worse and worse and worse. And, like, the intensity, it goes up and up.
Also, so, like, job aside, like, because of course you would not get a condition for anything else other than the thing that you do most, which is like talk.
Take my legs, take my arms.
But like you do don't realize, something else. I know, I would literally, the worm thing, if you could talk, like, I could deal with the worm. You could definitely do the worm thing.
Yeah.
But you don't realize how much we just yap and make noise. We're like little fucking birds in the house. Like, we just, what TikTok did you hear last?
When I couldn't talk, you were like, wow, I didn't realize how much we talked to each other, because I was just standing in the kitchen with you, like,
like, I'm cooking dinner, and you're just, I'm like,
staring at
you. Am I doing something wrong? Or?
Yeah, no, I just, like, was not in the mood to
hurt myself. Yeah, because that was the first real meal you were able to have, like, in a long, seemed like a while.
Yeah, I know, I'm just, like, shoving little bits of cheese in the back of my mouth.
I tell, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny now that you have medication. I describe it as if another alien, but aliens were humans on another planet, but they came to this planet and they're visiting us, and we're like having like a foreign exchange student situation.
Yeah.
But it's like you've never ate, like you eat food differently on whatever planet you're from, and you've like never ate, so you're like, how do I use my teeth?
I know. I just it's kind of cute. Yeah, because I can't use the right side of my mouth, so I'm just shoving food in the back left corner of my mouth. But, so thankfully the doctor believed me, and she prescribed me something called carbamazepine that apparently is, like, the gold standard treatment for this condition.
Yeah. Can we also talk about, shout out to that fucking subreddit, all 12 of you guys, fucking talk about the most niche and, like, helpful.
Anytime that I have a question about something, I'm checking Reddit. And I know that it's not a reliable resource but all the time. In this case, Reddit is like sometimes a toxic cesspool of bullshit. And sometimes it's super helpful
That was like some old school early 2000s forum vibes.
It was.
Like, it literally genuinely changed because you were able to like advocate for like what prescriptions you needed too.
Yeah. So, yeah, they prescribed me carbamazepine and then they gave me a fucking giant dose of gabapentin. I didn't realize that it was that big.
It or whatever, didn't they? Or?
Well, yeah, that was the lidocaine.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I didn't realize the amount of gabapentin that they prescribed me was a lot, but apparently it is.
You are a sleepy bean these days.
Yeah, that makes sense, though, because I was telling Aaron, it feels like the early stages of being drunk when it's, like, fun, and you're like, am I a little bit drunk right now? Yeah. Like, that's how it feels. Which I'm glad that I'm not operating a motor vehicle at this point in time.
You are princess.
Yeah, but then they also aerosolized or nebulized some lidocaine, which was awful, by the way. I much prefer the, like, liquid that you swish around. It's called viscous lidocaine.
It's such
it's so gross.
Like, when you use it, it looks like, almost like a... It
looks like clear glue.
It does look like glue. It looks like you're eating glue.
Yeah. Because I'm just like, because you're supposed to use like, you know, X amount of milliliters or whatever. And we don't ever have cough medicine in the house. We don't really like
care.
No. So most people would just use like a little cup to measure like, you know, I don't know how many milliliters it is.
But not you, not my little pumpkin.
But we don't have one. But you know what we do have?
Pipettes.
Pipettes.
I don't know why we have no cup for medicine, but we have pipettes.
Because I went through a phase where I was making chapstick a lot.
Oh, that's right.
And
oh,
so I was using it. Yeah, so we have leftover pipettes from that. So I've been pipetting viscous lidocaine in the fucking side of my mouth. I'm just like, ah.
I thought about keeping it in one of the videos. Also, anyone being like, oh, well, you don't seem like you're doing that different. I'm cutting out everything. If there's a zap or something, I'm cutting it out.
Yeah. There's been plenty of times I'm like,
yeah, not leaving a video of you and at your worst.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's, the story and that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Thankfully the medication helps a good amount. I still have like, they call it breakthrough pain every now and again. But if I don't move my mouth too much,
then we're
fine. I can talk and I can eat mostly as long as I cut everything up into little bits or just chomp it with my left teeth.
I'm like, is this your body? Is this your body's way of telling you that like it's time to take a break? Or
I had that thought because Saturn is retrograding right now. This is how you know I'm like really off the deep end because I'm like, is this the universe's way of telling me that I should quit both my jobs? I'm like, no, dumb bitch. It's just your body sucks.
Obviously my body's telling me I need to quit everything.
Your body just fucking sucks. This just happens sometimes and the universe is just kind of, you know, this way, chaotic. And
I know you've been doing so well with this because also it was like basically breast recovery, breast reduction recovery. And then this.
I am really trying to take the perspective that, like, my, because the old way that I would deal with things is like, you know, incessantly Googling and like calling every doctor that I could get hold of and like insisting, like, I've already made my treatment plan. I know how to fix this. I need
you to approve it.
Yeah, it's just sign this prescription and like do this, do that, whatever. And like, I'm trying really hard to trust that like I don't need to be in control of everything in order for things to be okay.
It's so hard though. You know? It's so hard to
trust. It is. Yeah. When you've been burned by the medical system, it's really hard.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to release myself of the expectation of also being in charge of fixing it while I'm struggling, because that's not really fair to me. That's not the way. Like, I know that that's the reality sometimes, that that is the way that it works for a lot of people. But I'm choosing to trust that, like, I can let go of just this one
thing. If we could have, like, a couple more experiences like that ER visit.
I know.
Then I think it's just so crazy how long you've been struggling to get, like, taken seriously for so many other things.
I know.
Well. And, like, it was just, like, honestly, that was, like, a life-changing moment. Mm-hmm. I feel like.
Where you're like, is this happening right now?
The doctor believes me.
Is, like, she being so serious? When
she didn't say anything. It wasn't like, oh, hey, you need to lose weight.
Uh-huh.
Did you know you're fat, by the way?
Yeah. Like, she was just like, okay. Yeah, she was like, no, it definitely is that. Like, based on the symptoms and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
There is also, I think, an element of, like, diagnostic in the fact that the gold standard medication has, like, drastically reduced my pain.
Oh, so much. Yeah.
That, I think, is, like, kind of, I don't know, like, good data to have that I'm probably going to present to a neurologist if I ever see one.
Yeah. That we can't.
But it's fine.
Nothing for that. I thought it was really nice, though, too. The doctor was like, oh, yeah, I went and actually researched.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm like, what the fuck are they doing when you're waiting? There's, like, where a period of time where you, like, get the initial scene.
Uh-huh.
And then they, like, just disappear for, like, an hour, hours, it seems like.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, yeah, I was researching and looking up stuff for this condition.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But I'm like, do they always do that, you think?
We're going to do this. Yeah. She did tell me that there is something that they do in other countries that we don't have access to.
They're having studies.
Was it the nebulizer that she said?
I thought she said that's what it was, or like something.
She was like, I think that what she said is, we can do the nebulizer for lidocaine here, but you can't do it at home.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm just going to give you the liquid lidocaine for when you go home.
Yeah.
And hopefully that helps, which it does. I still use it when I eat.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
It seems like I'm just so thankful you were actually able to get some pain management.
I do feel like a fucking salamander, though, because I can't open my mouth or, like, really, like, lick my lips, like what you just did, you like push your top lip down onto your bottom lip to get the saliva off and, like, clear your lips off. I can't do that, really. Like, I can sometimes, but, like, it's a 50-50 shot of whether it will hurt or not. So I'm just like, like, licking my lips all the time. And I feel like people are like, are you fucking good, dude? Like, what's wrong with you?
What are you doing? You're like, you don't understand.
You know that moment in Inside Out 2 where she's like, enhance. And, like, looking. I feel like I'm doing that all the time where I'm like, are you noticing that I'm licking my lips a lot?
Yes.
Are you judging me?
Well, I think it's funny, too, because you can kind of tell sometimes when your lips are numb.
Yeah.
Like, not so much so, but just like.
Thankfully, they're not numb. I think it's something where,
like, I might notice, but I don't think most people would.
That's fair.
Anything.
No, I think that's it for that. I just wanted to tell you guys, in case you guys are like,
why is Mickey being odd all of a sudden?
Yeah, or just, like, not as expressive as I normally am, because obviously on camera, I'm, like, usually emotionally
affected. I think that's the worst thing, too. We said, like, smiling kind of, which is, like, the saddest thing I've ever heard, that, like, smiling, like, actually kind of hurts you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what is that?
I don't know. It's very sad.
But regardless, thank you guys for being flexible and understanding. And
thanks for not
always having our back.
Accusing me of being mean or rude in advance.
If anyone says anything, I'm like, fucking out.
I know. I just have, like, a face that looks sort of angry sometimes when it's
But also, rest. Too, is that, like, a society thing? Is that, like, the women should always be smiling thing or, like, femme-presenting people?
Yes, that's true.
So
that's true.
I say RBF all day.
Fuck it. Yeah. It is what it is.
Because also, the reality is, like, most fucking dudes look, like, ready to
just brain empty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that's not what we're talking about today.
Actually, we don't know what we're talking about today.
Well, we do
know what we're talking about today.
We have a lot of catch-up stuff. So first and foremost, we talked about Matt and Abby on a recent episode.
I don't even remember how many episodes ago that was.
I don't know.
Recently.
We've been, like, prepping content so that we can go on fucking vacation.
Yeah.
But we talked about, ooh, that was a good snap. We talked about Matt and Abby on a recent episode, and we want to revisit it because
you guys left some comment. Yes. You guys were talking about other videos where there's even
y'all
more,
have the tea
worse?
That we didn't know. So we're going to talk about that today. Let me pull that up really quick.
Meanwhile, I had the thought. I was just having one of my little daydream thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. I don't know. Do people make judgments, or like people when they have gallery walls, or like when women make gallery walls, or like femme people have gallery walls, and then are men open to that? Do they like that? Do they like art? Because I know that's like a trope
of
like decorating the house and like dudes being apprehensive or like against it or like not wanting to help.
Interesting.
Is that a thing?
Why?
I don't know. But then also I was thinking like gallery walls and stuff, and then meanwhile dudes love filling their garage walls with like 85 neon signs.
Yeah.
And like, is that not just a gallery wall too, or like the license plate thing, or like?
Well, I feel like I feel like a lot of like cishet men view interior decor as like an inherently feminine thing, and because they've been socialized to hate femininity, therefore they hate interior decor, or like are afraid of it. I feel like a lot of cishet men who haven't really unpacked that misogyny are afraid of being perceived as feminine. And so they're afraid of things like expressing themselves through interior decor or like through fashion, which is really sad.
Which like, doesn't make sense. Like it's so, cause also too,
I know.
Which is so funny how that has worked and stuff too. Cause like also, or like at least from what we see, like in the 70s and the 80s and stuff, and like the fashion and
the
men were wearing and like, it's very flamboyant, very
and
loud and fun.
Yeah.
And I just don't know.
But also, too, I do remind myself that what we see represented in media about eras and decades and stuff is a really slimmed down version of that. And that there were always people who were like, damn hippies, you know, and like didn't want to wear those things. And like turned their nose up at those types of fashion. So I feel like there has always kind of been a bit of divergence in that regard.
I think too, it's so funny too, because it's really just whatever you make up in your mind that it means, because it's all actually doesn't mean anything. I could get carried away so quickly there.
That's
fair. Living there. But I just thought that was an interesting little.
Yeah, I really like our gallery wall.
Oh, I do.
Somebody
too. I love
left
it.
A comment actually asking like how we did that, and I was like, I don't know how to answer that, because I just kind of did
it. Either. Like, I think we filled in pieces with your own art.
Yeah. Well, and we just kind of made it up as we went along. Yeah. You know,
also it's gotten so difficult.
Yeah.
Also too, like it takes a lot, especially because like, we're working on another one in our house.
Yeah. It takes a while.
It takes like probably a couple like months.
Months, if not like
before
years.
Before you find a piece that really.
Yeah. I think my advice would be to look for things of varying sizes and textures, but also to be patient. Like, especially if you're looking at thrift store stuff. Like, I know some people like to buy the gallery wall sets off of Amazon and like, I'm not judging you. That's fine. I get wanting to have like a finished wall.
Of course.
But I think if you're wanting it to be like things that really speak to you and things that you've gotten from like thrift stores and whatever, like the wall will be unfinished for a while. It might be empty if you want to just leave the stuff off. But like for us, like we just have the stuff on the wall and it's just like half empty, you know, and like we'll fill it later. I don't know.
I think definitely the like you kind of just have to be okay with it being unfinished.
Yeah.
Like
it's a work in progress.
Also, too, I feel like you find better pieces when you're not looking for them.
Yes.
Like I feel like anytime we found something we fall in love with, we're like we weren't even looking. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I found the TikTok.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Am I watching it or are you watching it, holding it?
I've already seen this, so I think you should see it. This is Matt and Abby talking about the postpartum period. It's the very
Aaron
first
one. Get frustrated?
So this is them talking about after Abby gave birth.
The first one?
Mm-hmm. My wife was ready to leave the same day she gave birth. The hospital staff said that the minimum stay for a C-section was 48 hours. It put our marriage to the test. It wasn't the hospital staff. They were great. We were just sleep deprived and my wife was dealing with the intense hormone change that happens postpartum. But
worst of all, there was breastfeeding. Isn't that
so
normal?
So this statement of like the minimum stay for a C-section was 48 hours.
Also, have you seen how many layers you have to cut through to get a C-section done?
Yeah.
It's genuinely
horrifying.
If you do that to a man, they would be done for a year.
Yeah.
I would
PTO,
like,
you'd get a parade. there would be whole industries dedicated to your comfort and joy after something like that.
They would have machines that would walk you for you or something. Like, I feel like
truly.
Also, how much ab, you, how much muscle you have to cut through. It's
well, yeah. After carrying a baby for 9 months, where that's already stressed your body, your center of gravity is off. So it hurts your back. It hurts all your joints. It's sometimes ripped your abdominal muscles in half on either side of your stomach because it has to expand so much that after all of that and the hormone changes and your body being basically used as like a parasitic host to this thing, that now you have to
parasitic relationship.
I mean, it is like literally, if you didn't know this, I learned this and it changed my life. Babies will suck the nutrients out of your body if you don't provide them with enough of them,
which is why prenatals are so important. And stuff,
Like calcium, it will literally leach the calcium out of your bones in order for it to continue growing so that you have less calcium, but it takes it, which is why it's really important to have like prenatals and to be checking your nutrition.
It's actually really impressive.
I know.
Also so scary.
But after all of that, you get your body, all of these layers cut into, baby ripped out, stitched back up, and they're like, 48 hours, you can go home. Like, 48 hours, that's it?
That's it?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm
saying. But so this statement of 48 hours is the minimum stay, and that put our marriage to the test is what,
that's what...
is what perked a lot of people's ears up. Like, what do you mean?
Which really caused us to butt heads. It was really important to my wife that she breastfed our baby, but it was really important to me that our baby got fed. There were long stretches of time where my wife tried super hard to breastfeed, but her milk hadn't come in yet and our baby refused to latch. He would scream and cry and the tension in the room got extremely elevated. Okay, I offered to give our baby formula.
Important context here is that when babies are born, I didn't know this. I had to look this up.
Okay.
When babies are born, their tummies are teeny tiny.
Oh,
their
I'm sure.
actual stomachs, like... it's the size of a pea or something. It's very, very small.
That makes sense.
So the amount of milk that they need is very, very little.
That makes sense.
When you're immediately postpartum in those first like few days, your body produces something called colostrum. A lot of people call it liquid gold because it's like a more yellowy tinged fluid
that like
comes.
So it's like super packed with nutrients, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of people say even if you don't want to or aren't able to breastfeed, even being able to pump or like pull some amount of colostrum out of your body can be really, really beneficial to your baby.
Yeah.
So even if you're just like able to pump a little bit of it out and then put it in a formula bottle, it's really good for your baby.
Well, because your body, because the saliva and stuff can,
Yeah, your baby's saliva, because it will be transmitted through like the ducts near your nipples, that it can like communicate with your body and then your body will compensate to produce more
when
things
people
that your
are like,
baby
oh,
needs.
Anyone who's ever like, oh, we didn't come from it. Like, no, that's like evolution at fucking work.
Yes.
Like, that's actually like the craziest.
Absolutely incredible.
Like, diagnostic system.
Yes.
In, like
wild.
Fucking... Are
but so colostrum mm-hmm. is like few and far between. You don't produce like when people think of breastfeeding, they think of like enough milk to fill a bottle, right?
Oh,
in those early days, that's not what your baby needs. You're producing enough colostrum for them to fill their teeny tiny little bellies. And like, that's it.
My impression is you're getting the
that's enough.
The pumps were going.
So you're not meant to be breastfeeding 6, 8 ounces, 4 ounces, 3 ounces, whatever of breast milk. You're meant to be just producing enough colostrum to fill their teeny tiny little bellies and give them like the nutrients that they need, basically. So her not like producing enough milk is like not a thing. Like, she was likely producing enough colostrum, and even if he was struggling to latch or whatever, like, there are very much ways that they could have kept him fed. So Matt saying this thing about how like his wife wasn't producing and like he just wanted the baby to be fed, like, it seems like he is fundamentally...
Oh, is that what's going on here?
It seems like he's fundamentally misunderstanding what breastfeeding actually looks like. Yeah.
Baby formula until my wife's milk came in, but she saw this as a direct attack. My wife was doing what she thought was best for our baby, and so was I. We were on the same team and didn't even know it. I did my best to pack up our stuff as quickly as possible. I was ready to get home because I hadn't showered in 2 days and wanted to sleep in my own bed. I didn't even use most of the items that I brought with me. As I left, I forgot our car was parked super far away, so I ended up ditching our stuff and running to our car to move it up closer. We got our baby safely secured in his car seat, and then we made our way home where our family was waiting to surprise us.
I'm like, motherfuckers, do not be at our house. Do not be at our house when you come home. Also, this is not the video I thought it was going
to
be.
The thing that's confusing to me is that he, first of all, like, oh, this put our marriage to the test. I hadn't showered. I hadn't slept in 48 hours. Hello? your wife produced and then had a baby surgically removed from her body. What do you mean?
And is walking after, like, so soothing.
Who, well, and then has a human latched to her breasts, which also, for some people, is incredibly painful. I know for some people it's very intuitive and natural, and that's really wonderful. I love that for you. But for some people, it's very painful, apparently. Like, I've never breastfed a child, yeah. But it doesn't seem fun. I've had my nipples pinched before, and I didn't love that.
I was recently, I had an experience recently where someone had a newborn, mm-hmm. And everyone, or they were, people were asking how it went, how the obviously went. Mm-hmm. And the person who had just had the newborn was like, actually the baby's been sleeping through the night. Like, they've been doing really well.
Yeah.
And all of the other parents were like, fuck you. Like, just you wait kind of a thing. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. And I just love, and I didn't say anything, mm-hmm. but I just love. It just fills me with such, it's so interesting.
Like a Schadenfreude kind of feeling.
It's like, if you're not having a miserable experience like we did, then it's like, then fuck we hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like your experience, like it's like almost like your experience is invalidated now because you're having an easy go of it.
Yeah.
So like it makes it whole, like, well, you didn't really go through it then.
Yes.
Like it's just this funny, like disaster or like, shared trauma thing.
Yes.
I think it's that thing too when people are like, oh, you have to have a baby.
Yeah.
I feel like secretly deep down, sometimes people are like, I want other people to experience the misery.
Sometimes I think that's like definitely true.
That goes through it. Because it is a hard, like.
No, sure. But I think it's just funny how men will center themselves in this situation when, like, ultimately the person who's having a difficult experience is the person who birthed the child. Yes. Like the
birth, not only taking caretaking, you're also recovering.
Yes. Like, I'm sorry. The birthing parent gets priority and gets like
I'll
de facto congratulatory for like forever.
Forever.
Like you don't get to center yourself and complain about how you didn't sleep for 48 hours in a hospital room when your wife was the one who pushed a baby out. Well, I guess it had a baby surgically excised from her body. That's horrifying.
I can't tell because also like that video has a 1.7 million likes. And it's just this continuation of, I feel like we're just like in the rage bait era anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I feel like it has become such a thing, especially with that, we saw that video of, I don't know if it was true or not, that woman who said they charged someone for babysitting someone else's kid.
Oh, yeah, not she charged someone for like a play date.
Yeah. And then the other person, they had a Venmo set up.
Yeah.
And so they were having people send Venmo and stuff.
Yeah.
And then... Was it actually her account? She said she could have set that up, or she said she did set it up?
No, I think what happened was that it was a fake person who set that account up. Or, like, someone said that... Okay, so...
Context, I guess.
Yeah, parent A said, you know, we should normalize charging other parents for play dates.
Yes.
And then told this whole story about how she charged the other mom, like, you know, $1 for the wear and tear on my couch and $1 for bathroom trips and, you know, $2 for snacks to a total of like $15 and asked the mom to Venmo the money. And the mom was like, what are you talking about? And eventually acquiesced and sent the money, right?
Yeah.
So parent who requested the money, who was like, you know, I'm charging you a dollar for wear and tear on my couch, made a TikTok about it. And the internet was really mad, obviously.
Obviously.
And so then... Somebody set up a Venmo account for the other mom who had to pay the money for their kid to go on a play date.
Yeah.
For people to send and be like, you know, this is fucked up. We're so sorry you had to do this. And the mom who charged the money in the first place was like, y'all need to learn your lesson about rage bait because that Venmo account is actually mine.
Yeah.
And like, you guys have been sending money to me, basically. I don't know if that's true.
But like, even just the fact that like that very much could be the case.
Yeah.
I think it's just like the core essence of it is like people hate spend.
Yeah.
And so, like, and granted, it's like small amounts, but I mean, like,
sure.
1,000 people send a dollar, like, that's a grand, you know?
Well, and even, you know, like, likes and views and all of that stuff. Yeah. Like, Matt and Abby are professional, like, full time influencers, so they're definitely making money from the rage bait of people watching
their
videos. So I'm
like, are they actually like this in real life? Or have we just learned what's gonna be?
I think that's possible, but I think, because they're also Christians, as far as I'm aware. Somebody in the comments mentioned that. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this is a, like, Paul and Morgan, Dave and Bethy, like Abby and her husband.
They're just like dialed down on the hate.
Well, no, I think they sometimes genuinely don't understand.
Oh, you think like it's one of those where like they've grown up in this.
Well, yeah, they don't get it. Like they're so steeped in misogyny that the idea that a man would complain about having to sleep in a hospital chair while his wife has given birth is like, Well, what do you mean? I'm allowed to complain.
Also, isn't that just like the, I thought it was like a stereotype. Now we're like, oh yeah, we were at the hospital for.
We'll get to us.
But like, are they not like the same? These are not the same people who are pumping out kids. No.
I mean, well, I think the point that I'm making is that we are on very different sides of the internet, right?
Yeah.
I don't like somebody like my parents, even.
Okay.
Who are certainly not fundamentalists.
No.
At this point, anyways, have no concept that that side of the internet exists.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess
we get so entrenched in our own little bubble that sometimes I think it's really easy to be like, no, of course everybody knows. And like, they don't.
I guess
sometimes they don't.
If we can just like further tease apart this conversation just a little bit more, if that's okay.
Sure.
So like, because for me, like the thought that's coming to my head is that we are exposed to that side of the internet. You know, like obviously the internet and like, even like Google censoring search results and stuff and like giving you what they wants you to see.
Sure.
Obviously, of course, like the internet is a very curated place, like on all aspects, like you can't really get away from it. Right.
No.
But like we see into their like into their side.
Yeah.
Often, I feel like for the rage baiting of it, mm-hmm. you know, and like, is that not happening in the reverse where like they would also not be?
I mean, maybe,
aware? You know what I'm saying? Like you are in they not theory, aware in the reverse?
I think in theory, maybe.
Yeah.
But also, like, I mean, we make a living talking about, like, shitty men and, mm-hmm. like, making reactionary content, right? So, like, of course we're going
to
see it.
You know that thing, actually, that's coming to, for me right now is, when, remember when I first started dating
mm-hmm.
and, like, someone would not respond or they would not say something in a way that I thought would be the way to say or, like, all these things. And you're like, you would remind me, like, oh, I don't think they care that. Or, like,
yeah.
You're like, I don't think people think that much about it. I don't think people care that much.
Yeah, nobody's thinking that deeply about
it. You're right. Because also, too, in a place of privilege, especially these people, like,
I think it's just important to remember that these are the people who live and die on the hill that a woman's fundamental purpose is to be a wife and to have babies.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I think
the idea that a male partner would be being mean to her by not considering her wants mm-hmm. and needs first and foremost is very foreign to them. And also, I think even if they are being exposed to, like, quote unquote, our side of the internet, it's often through this lens of, like, oh, they hate men so much that they want men to never complain. These, like, weirdo libs think that, like, men complaining is them oppressing mm-hmm. their wives.
Not being able to say the M word in therapy.
Well, and it's from this, like, very hyperbolic and sort of fake, like, exaggerated point mm-hmm. of view where, like, they took a concept like feminism and say, you hate all men and want all men to die.
Sure.
Like, no.
No,
we just think that men are fundamentally unsafe because you've proven yourselves to be
over
so.
And, over again.
And so therefore we're choosing to not like engage in relationships with you, for example. You know?
It's just so interesting to me. It's the thing too where I'm just like giving entirely too much credit to people who would never.
Yeah. They're not thinking critically about it. They're seeing the content that's being presented to mm-hmm. them from this very hyperbolic perspective about like, you know, feminists hating men and wanting all men to die and being like, uh-huh.
I'm going to start just treating them like the dad from The Secret Life.
Yeah.
And just being like, and where you're like, is this a real person? Like, is this person really acting like this? And like, oh yeah, they actually are.
They do.
And also now that I'm thinking about this too, because we talk about the characters on that show, mm-hmm. Because it's written from a Christian lens.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, like this is not satire.
No.
Like they're actually are writing this and like this. Like I
think
the dad.
There were real people who were like,
like I think.
Love this.
Yeah. I think Amy's dad actually is written like.
Yes.
Like, not as
someone
not
was
a bad
like, oh, that character is so totally my dad.
Yes.
Yeah. In a good way.
In a, not, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That is the wildest shit I have.
And I think especially because of the nature of my job, too, like, we will sit and critically analyze media and be like,
we
why was this
for
made?
That, but
who
I like
made
it.
This? From what perspective? Yeah. What were they trying to achieve? And a lot of people are just like, like, staring,
I know,
you know?
I always, we talk about that all the time, too, when we're like, people are watching, are people watching stuff? It doesn't matter.
No.
I know.
I think, you know, because media for a lot of people serves the purpose of being escapism.
Yeah.
That's a large part of its purpose.
Oh, actually, speaking of, did you want me to talk about that? Thing I was talking about with The Boys?
Or, yes.
Oh, you want me to talk
please
about that?
Do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously I do enjoy watching The Boys. It's satire. It's much like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
You don't have to justify what
albeit,
you like.
Oh, no, I'm just kind of giving some background.
Okay.
Albeit graphic as fuck in the way mm-hmm. Amazon does things, but like it's fun. It's no different than like anime. It's just real.
Sure.
You doing okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. But it is on this last season or the current season that they're working on right now. Homelander is like a raging narcissistic fucking Republican coded.
Like genuinely terrible person.
His name is
person.
Homelander. He's from the home, like, it's very, like, Nazi-coded.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was very... It's also funny, this season, the, like, right-leaning people realizing, like, wait, is this play about us?
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. Yeah, bitch, I, like, have you guys, like, yes. They're literal not... Like, there's literally a Nazi character in the last season that he fell in love with.
Yeah.
And then also, yeah.
But no, anyways, they think that's not them, though. That's what I'm saying.
But as far as, like, talking about media critically, yeah. I was just filling Mickey in because I thought they did a really good job. So Homelander is, like, the strongest superhero, the strongest soup in the universe, can't be killed, nothing can hurt him, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. So anyways, there's this whole thing about him, like, we're kind of like learning his background story, and like they basically treated him like a science experiment, mm-hmm. and kept him locked in a underground science experiment bunker.
Yeah. Lots of like thing, terrible very, human experimentation, yeah, kind of
very,
vibes.
Very, very classic tropey stuff or whatever. Yeah. And so he goes back. He has like a homecoming with the scientist that treated him like shit and like abused him essentially as a child. And the only weakness that Homelander has or seems to have is his need and desire for love and affection and for and validation.
Yeah.
From the, like, everyone, from, like, the humans.
Well, this is what, like, the scientist told him, that, like, they can't find a weakness for him except for that, right?
Yeah, like, his need for validation and for love.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously we find out about that. That's kind of been, like, the underlying context where they really just said it out loud very, like, very clear. Like, that's the only thing
you're not
really
getting it.
Yes. or, like, for the audience.
No, I know,
like,
yeah.
So anyways, like, he goes back, and essentially, like, all of these horrible traumatic things that were done to him, when he was a child, that he essentially does to the, I'm not going to go into graphic detail, but, like, does to the, like, scientists and, like, make them realize, because also, too, there was an interesting moment where, like, these things that were so horribly traumatic to Homelander growing up and were, like, ingrained, like, just burned into his brain, and he asked the scientists about it, and they're like, I don't remember at all. They were like, that was another Tuesday, dude.
Yeah.
They didn't say that, obviously.
No, yeah, but that's the energy.
But also, too, like, he was like, you know, isn't it so funny how something that was so hurtful and, like, poignant to me is just, like, another fucking day to you.
Yeah.
And albeit, like, it's horrible and awful,
his
character and stuff, but I think it's just really the, like, they did a really good job kind of covering, like, the childhood trauma, I think, of, like, things that, like, seem like just another day to other people, but can, like, so quickly change your outlook on, like, your life for forever.
I tell my clients that all the time, that, like, it's painful and difficult, but unfortunately the reality is that, like, the axe never remembers, but the tree never forgets. You know? And like, that's why
That's a good saying.
Yeah. Obviously, I didn't make that up.
It's I know, but I'm just
No, but, like, it's a cliche for a reason, and it's, like, very helpful with childhood trauma, because it's really painful, the realization that your parents might not remember the things that they've done to you.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make them
any
less valid or any less real, you know? Like, part of healing sometimes, if you have contact with your family and that's, like, safe for you, obviously, is to be like, no, we're going to sit with this. Like, we're going to talk about it. And, like, I'm not going to allow you to, like, escape from this thing and pretend that it didn't happen, because it did. Like, it did happen, and it's real to me, and it matters to me. And, like, I deserve to have you be present with me while I process my emotions about that. Like, it can be very cathartic if that's available to you, which unfortunately for a lot of people it's not.
I know,
you
know, and clearly they, like, took it in the complete opposite direction of way, not opposite direction, but, like, a way that I guess someone with superpowers would probably deal with their trauma.
It's a really, like, I mean, it's kind of loud, I suppose, but it's, like, a really, I don't know, poignant way to talk about the way that Republicans and, like, the far right deal with things, though,
the
you know?
Lack of.
Well, and it's kind of an interesting, it's kind of an interesting introspection, too, that, like, all of this greed and like, you know, disgusting need for power sort of boils down to a feeling of illegitimacy and insecurity, you know,
like wanting to feel
this is, I mean, it's sort of the crux of why, like, cishet white men who are rich and have privilege are so dangerous, because they just need more and more and more validation, because they don't like themselves, and they are terrified to do the work of looking inward and working on themselves, because that's feminine, and that
would be,
you know, God forbid,
that'd be so scary to talk about your feelings.
God forbid they do something feminine, which would make them even more illegitimate and disgusting, you know. But, like, the answer is, like, actually quite simple, but they'll refuse to engage with that and just continue to do more and more violent things to try to
advantage of other people.
They're trying to cover up this this wound that is like in, you know, I think a lot of senses like very human.
Absolutely.
But like the things that they're doing are like very inhuman and disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Cope with it and deal with it and address it. Yes. Is not that.
No, not at all. Yeah. It's like really sad and frustrating, mm-hmm. you know?
I was just thinking about the core memories from Inside Out. We should talk yes. about Inside Out a little bit since we, yeah. I'm so glad. Thank you so much for suggesting.
Yeah. Thanks for coming with me.
Because I've been finally able to work a regular shift. And yeah, so you're like, hey, do you want to go on a little movie date tonight? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to go see Inside Out. Like, also, though, oh my God. What? Oh my God. What? Oh my God. Kids, if you're watching this, sit down. Come here and sit down. I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm going to tell everyone a little fucking story.
What?
Because we used to go to the movies every fucking week. Every Friday during summer. Like, that was the thing. That was the thing we would fucking do.
It's like what you did.
We would play shirts and skins at basketball. We'd get sweaty and we'd be bumping, very homoerotic, very Top Gun. And then we'd go in the pool and we would light shit on fire and ride our bikes. And that's what you do in the desert. You know, there's not a lot of stuff to do. You just, we're not like big fires.
Don't light like things on fire. It's dangerous.
We buy little fucking, little
firecrackers.
Little firecrackers
and
we tape them all together
little
and see how, what happens when you put them all together. Nothing really extra happens.
Yeah.
And then we would go to the movies. Mm-hmm. Every Friday.
Yeah.
We went to the movies, and for you and me, the tickets were like, what, 20 bucks?
To be clear, I was not involved in the shirts and skins situation. That was you and your friends.
Oh, that was my friends. Yeah.
We would go on dates to the movies, though.
Yes, we would. But I was going to the movies several times a week.
But yeah, I mean, generally speaking, we'd probably get out of there for 30, 35 bucks.
With food.
Yeah, with food, with drinks.
For two pizzas.
Yes.
Two pizzas, one bucket of soda,
and
a smart water. It was $60.
Yeah. And the tickets, obviously.
And I am so sorry. I feel so genuinely, like, I feel
sad.
I'm so thankful we're not having fucking kids because it crushes my fucking heart.
I know.
Because I was like, genuinely, if I wanted to take you on a date to the movies, like, I would have,
As a kid,
with how the prices are right now.
We couldn't afford it.
I know minimum wage is, like, maybe a little bit more, but, like.
Is it?
Even us going as adults, I was like, God damn. I was like.
I know. It's like a little bit of a like, we could have had a really nice
granted,
dinner for $60.
Good, but also, we weren't at a luxury movie theater. We weren't at one of the fucking like sit down, have a full course meal while you're watching
because there is one here in Tucson that has like, you know, waiters and cocktails and like super fancy food. It's like very, very nice. Mm-hmm. But it was just literally snack bar food.
Yeah.
Those words did not want to come out of
my
mouth.
That's fine. I genuinely am getting worse at speaking the more I speak.
Did you know that's potentially a long COVID thing?
Oh, that's so good for me.
Yeah.
Love that.
I read that the other day and I was like,
I sometimes feel like I have
maybe
so much
that's
trouble.
Why. Maybe it's not the ADHD.
Whatever. But anyways, anyone who goes on dates to the movies and stuff, or anyone who's younger, I know our audience isn't necessarily like that age per se. But also like you kind of are at the same time.
Yeah.
But also I think it affects us all. And it's just so fucking telling that like, I'm like, damn, especially here in Arizona, like
what
going
are you
to the movie
meant
theater,
to do?
It's like cheap. There's AC. You're out of the sun.
Yes.
And like, it's a fun, cheap way to like, just fuck off, like turn your brain off for a little bit. And it's not a fun, cheap way anymore.
No. Me and my friends used to mall crawl when we were in middle school.
Yeah.
That was what we'd do. We'd have one of our parents drop us off at the mall
and
we'd
just
be
there.
Like, go away. We're so independent and adult. And then we would, you know, walk around and we would window shop and we'd be terrible menaces. I remember a budget of like $20 to $30 for the things that I was going to buy for the whole day.
And you probably could have got food with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We went to the food court and then sometimes we would go to the movies, you know. But like, you can't do that anymore.
But, like,
you really can't.
That was like 10 years ago. Like, that's not that long.
No.
Maybe like 12. I were older than maybe.
That's right. Like, but 12, like, 10 to 15 years ago. But still, 15 years, even 20 years, is not enough time for prices to have raised to the point and wages to remain essentially the same so that you literally cannot do.
Yeah.
Because also, too, can we talk about how this is literally just hostile architecture?
Again. Yeah, again,
and like,
always.
It's also not lost on me that like Imani from Crutches and Spice talks about this all the time, that like we as a collective are not connecting COVID and like mass disablement or mass disability enough to the things that are happening socially. And like, this is very much that like we as a society criminalize loitering and existing in public if you're not spending money on something. And then we had this mass disabling event where millions of people either died or are now unable to work and can't exist in public because disability income is a fixed income that is never enough fucking money to live. And so those people are being criminalized now. Like, this is literally like a disability issue. This is why, by the way, we talk about on the channel, it's so important. If you don't care about disability rights and activism now for yourself because it's not affecting you, it will. It fucking will one day.
At some point.
Also, Jesus Christ, like, it could happen. Like,
you just wake up one day.
The face thing was such a good reminder that, like, my body could just quit. I could just wake up one day and it could fucking quit. It could decide to stop working. Like, my God, I'm not saying I'm disabled, to be clear, but, like, it could happen, like, very easily that, like, sometimes for unexplained and like, uncurable reasons, people's bodies just stop working.
Yeah.
And, like, long COVID is a big part of that right now,
too.
That's
the other thing, too. It's like, it's not like you were, like, fucked up. Or like doing drugs, or like something happened, or like you were putting your body
there
into
was
the
like
ground.
No, there was like there was an injury, or like I was fucking around and hurt myself. Yeah, this just happened.
Like, also, if anything, taking more care of your body now,
literally,
because you've been recovering from your surgery.
Yes, I've been very gentle with it.
But anyways, to the fun stuff. Inside Out was so good. Inside Out was genuinely really good. Like, I don't know what it Pixar.
It was very like warm and fuzzy.
I know.
It was sweet.
Which I loved Anxiety, actually. I don't love Anxiety. I do, but I did resonate.
Character.
I did resonate. Yes. I did resonate. I tell you what.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I love Sadness so much. I just think she's so relatable.
Phyllis does such a good job.
I know. I can't get Phyllis from The Office out of my head. But also, it's like so. Yeah. No, it's so on brand for her.
Yes.
Also, I just love that she consistently has to be like persuaded into things that she's like, no, I don't want to do that.
Also, the hockey is a
like,
metaphor.
Me, always me. I know.
The whole like. The watching it go from like, this isn't a game, this is a sport. And I was like, oh no.
I know.
That was the saddest thing.
Stop.
That was the saddest
it
thing
is
I
a game.
Ever. Like, it is supposed to be fun still.
Yes,
also watching,
you're just a baby.
Also watching her shun her friends. But also too, at the same time, that scene where they're in there taking the photos and the teacher's waiting. And they're just like, oh, they go, and they're like, oh no, this is so fun, this is so fun. And
oh
like, no,
God. Anxiety. I know.
He's like, maybe I'll take care of that from now on. And it's like.
But that's so real, though, that, like, something bad will happen one time, and then your anxiety is like, oh, no, we're sticking to this protocol forever.
Also, watching the core memories, like, that was such a great way
know.
The little Orbeez.
Yeah,
love
and
the
then
Orbeez.
Them forming, like, the little beliefs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, I love the little tugs.
Yes. Ugh. Me, too.
I know. It was so hard. It was so sad to watch the change from I'm good enough to...
I'm a good person to I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
So sad. I was really happy about the ending, though. You know what's funny? In the beginning, when Joy grabs those like embarrassing memories and just swoops
them
to the back of the mind, I was like, I don't really agree with that. Like,
oh, that's yeah.
In my mind, I was like, don't be a fucking wet blanket, Mickey. Don't be a fucking wet blanket. Don't.
But they addressed it perfectly.
Don't hyper address and overanalyze media. Just let it be. And I was like, that's not really a good way to deal with that, though, because you're not going to form like an integrated sense of self. And like, you're going to have this really Pollyanna version. And then
then
you're very susceptible to things like shame and ego injury. And so that's not really a good way, especially for a child. And then it all happened. And I was like,
I'm like, I know it's a movie for kids, but I'm like, is it a movie for kids?
I feel like it's a movie for kids in the way that Shrek is a movie for kids.
Is Shrek a movie for kids?
In theory, yeah.
I guess it was a kid. It was a kids movie when it came out.
Disney or a DreamWorks
also,
movie.
I love that DreamWorks put their whole B team on Shrek because they were working on Ants or something else. I can't remember what movie they were working on or whatever.
Something
but,
terrible.
Like, Shrek was supposed to be some fuck off, one off, bullshit ass movie.
Exploded.
And also, can we just talk about Despicable Me? What is the...
I don't know.
Also, though, we were watching the trailer, and I'm like, I kind of get the Minions thing a little bit, but then I don't get the Minions thing.
Okay, but also...
What
if,
is the Minions?
If you have kids, and your kids watch Despicable Me, or, like, engage with that in any type of way, can you please answer a question for us?
Please.
Because I'm really curious. We have established, we're like little parrots. We things that we hear. So I'm not sure if I'm just projecting. But if you have kids, are your kids really fucking annoying after they watch Despicable Me? Because I could just imagine little kids watching and being like, bah, bah! And
I really, after watching the trailer for 2 minutes, I was like, bah, bah, bah!
As a parent, I would be
over.
Like at the end of my rope. Like, I'm trying to make dinner. I've had a long day. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck
shut up
with your minions.
There's no minions
and
allowed in this house.
This is why we're not parents. But if that happens to you, can you please like let us know in the comments, like, are kids really annoying and frustrating when they're parroting those minion noises?
Also,
or is it like fun and cute? Is it like fine?
But then
like,
there's like
what's the
minion meme. memes. Like, adults make minion memes.
Yeah, I don't understand
that. It's like the Happy Bunny thing.
Uh-huh.
It's so interesting.
I don't get it. Because also, I just don't have that much of an attachment to Minions, I think, probably because we don't really watch those movies.
Yeah.
If anything, though, I feel like I would attach to Gru. Because I kind of resonate with him on a deep level.
Well, I think it's so funny to me, too, because I'm like, is the movie about Gru or the Minions? Because the whole trailer is really about the Minions.
Yeah. I think the next one is definitely about the Minions.
I think there is a separate, there are just single Minion movies. Is there dialogue in those movies, or do they just make Minion sounds?
I don't know.
It's incredible to me.
It's like a whole little like metaverse about just Minions.
I feel like Inside Out is for us. Mm-hmm. I also, we have such a question, too. Mm-hmm. I'm always so curious, like, so is there like a therapist on staff? Is it just because it's written and directed by a woman?
If you guys are in the know, please also tell us that.
Like, how do they know? Because like
it was very on point.
The projection, like, the sarcasm stuff.
The projection thing was so funny.
I know. I love that scene. That was so good.
As we were watching it and they're drawing these little drawings and then projecting them up onto the thing, I was like,
a projector.
I was like, this is such an inefficient way to do this. And then I was like, oh my God, they're projections.
It's not an inefficient.
Dawned on me and I was like, oh my God, they're literally making a joke about you projecting your shit. And it's so funny.
I love anxiety. Just be like, darker. Worse, make it suck more.
We need more worst case scenario.
For real though, I really do find myself, I'm like, if I don't do this thing exactly like this, then for the rest of my life, like if you don't make the Thunderhawks or what are the flame birds or what are the
flame hawks,
the flame hawks, the Thunderbirds. then like you'll have no friends for the rest of your life
and you'll die alone.
It's like in high school I used to tell myself like, oh man, if I don't have sex this year or something, then no one will have sex with me for the rest of my life. And then I'll end up because the 30-year-old virgin had just come out, or the 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah, it's 30.
Also funny with Steve Carell. Had come out and I was like, and then I'll end up like Steve Carell and I'll never have sex. Kid. And then I'll think boobs feel like sandbags.
No. Is that something that happens in that movie?
Well, I think they ask him, I think they're just like having like a dude bro conversation.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you touch any good tits lately or something? And then they're like, yeah, I just love when they feel like sandbags.
Ew.
Like, see, he's never.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, and everyone just looks at him and they're like, what?
Ew.
And then they realize and figure out. I haven't seen that movie in years, to be clear.
Oh my God. What a strange premise.
It is kind of a strange premise, isn't it?
It's also interesting too, like how culturally not relevant that would be now, because like sex work is as prevalent as it is, and it would be like in theory relatively simple to be like, just hire a sex worker. Like, also, if you're really that serious about not having your virginity or whatever, just hire a sex worker and be done with it. You know?
I know the term hooker is like super offensive and stuff.
Yes,
and like in the Sweet Life or the Secret Life, I keep calling the Sweet Life
the
of
Sweet
Cat,
Life.
Zach and Cody.
I know it's the Secret Life of the American Teenager.
They're like, yeah, and you're dating that hooker.
I know,
and
they
I'm like, oh my God,
it like makes me uncomfortable when you say.
Yes, I know, it's so bad. I'm like,
why do they keep saying it?
But they say it with so much
vitriol. Yes.
Like, guys.
It's very much written by Christians. I'm going to make a main channel video about how Christians are trying to indoctrinate our
but
children
through
media. But
they're so quiet. They're being so quieted. They have no voice. They only, like,
They're being oppressed. Christians are being forced out of mainstream media.
Of course they are.
Totally. Granted, the show is, like, probably 10
years
old at this point.
2008, so 16
years. Ooh, it's older than that.
That show could almost drink alcohol.
We could have a baby that's that.
If we had had a child when Amy had a child, they would be 13 right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they would be starting high school soon.
If we had had a baby when we were Amy's age, our kid would be a freshman in high school.
That's crazy. I just said that and then you said the same thing in another way.
No, you said they'd be 13.
15.
13-year-olds don't start.
I don't know how
school.
To do math. I forgot how old I
that's
was.
That's why I was like, no, that's wrong.
What's my age again?
Yeah, no, our child would be starting high school.
It's a good one.
It's a good loopy punky.
Oh, no. It looks like a mouth.
Is that not so distressing, though?
I
don't like
that
at all.
It took us a long time to get there, but I think the no kids thing was,
I feel very situated
look,
with that.
You might not be able to smile, but you couldn't wear this if
thank
you
thank you. I'm sure that won't be disturbing at all.
At all.
At all, at all. Also, as a quick wrap-up, we went to... What?
Nothing.
Did you make a penis shape?
No.
No, that's a vagina. Hmm.
natural.
I don't know my fruits.
I don't know my fruits.
No, Hannah and I went to VidCon.
Oh yeah, this past week. VidCon.
That was also part of the stress of the mouth thing. Is it happened literally 24 hours before I left, and I was like, I can't go to VidCon if I can't open my mouth.
Those are not refundable.
Which, yeah, thankfully it all worked out. But VidCon was really fun. Shout out to Hannah.
I'm so glad you guys had a good time.
Yeah, we had a nice time. Obviously, it's always stressful traveling with anybody who's not you.
Yeah,
I am always reminded acutely, keenly of how attuned you and I are to each other.
I know. Because we really got a little joke about regulating each other's nervous system.
Well, and we have this like dance that we do where like...
Tell me about it.
We just have like a routine of like, okay, so we get up and then, you know, we do this and we do that and then it's time to eat and like you can just feel
it.
We know.
We have a way of... We are particular.
Yeah.
To
well,
least.
You can feel it when like, okay, we need to rest or like, okay, we need to eat or like, you know, we're bored. And so we need to get up and like do an activity or something. There's just like a way that we are. And like also too, if I'm uncomfortable or I'm like pissy because of my clothes or whatever, you're like, you need to change. Let's go. And like we're changing my clothes or, you know, whatever. And it's just like a very like...
You're like, you can feel your skin. You need to take a shower.
Yeah, it's like a very twin telepathy thing that we do where I'm like, you're cranky because you haven't eaten or like you haven't had enough water today. Oh. And I know for a fact that you're a cranky.
Also, anytime you tell me I need to eat and you're not wrong, but I'm still like, fuck you. Like,
that's how I feel.
I hate when you're right.
Like, I know that you're just grumpy because you haven't eaten, but you're being really rude to me. And I'm like, fuck you.
I think the greatest boon to our relationship has been my ability to call you on your shit.
Yeah.
Because damn.
You did it yesterday.
What did I do yesterday?
You were like, you can keep yelling or I can go fix it. Which would you prefer? And I was like,
you were being so cranky, panky, hanky. I was like, damn, dude. Like, you need... I was like, I'm literally on your team.
I was like, I'm literally going to take care of something.
And I'm like walking down the hallway to go to my computer to take care of something. And like, and another thing.
It's so emasculating because I'm just like, yeah, you're right. I'm being a fucking asshole right now.
Yeah, but also...
But you're right.
I know. But also, too, the best part was, too, I didn't even need to go to the office.
No, I could have just checked in on my... I was literally about to check in on my phone, so I was like, I'm still annoyed at you because you're being redundant, but also, you're right.
But also, when you get to that point, you're like, well, I'm doing it now.
I know,
I'm doing it now.
You were right, because I was being cranky.
We have fun. Yeah.
But yeah, so we did have a lot of fun at VidCon. It was really nice, and I enjoyed it a lot. I think I put some pictures up on the community tab if you want to see. But
I think Hannah, you already did.
Hannah and I forgot to take pictures until the last day, which also, too, can I just say, the only thing about big like YouTuber events like that, this is not shade, this is not judgment, I'm not being shady or rude, but it's just always such a culture shock being around so many people.
I know, 'cause we're
so
normies.
Comfortable taking videos and photos, and like there were people just outright vlogging, which like makes total sense if I was like a vlogging content creator or a lifestyle content creator.
I bet there's just like 100 of these
selfie
just
sticks, like, yeah, and a lot of like time lapse is happening of people eating and stuff.
And
so
TikTok
like
TikTok and stuff, I'm sure.
Totally on TikToks. Yeah, we were trying constantly to be like, don't get in the background of their TikTok, which like I get obviously, but it's just always odd because we're not like that. In our day-to-day life outside of this office, we do not film things. Like, I don't like it.
We film our
pets. I don't want it. I've literally filmed a vlog one time in my entire life to talk about my self-care routine, and it made me very uncomfortable, and I was like, I'm never doing that again. Because it's just like I feel very perceived, and I have a lot of social anxiety as it is.
The boomer in us.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do I hold my phone again?
I know. When I'm like, this angle's really bad, I'm gonna have to retake this, and I'm frustrated. Like it was such a culture shock to be around people like that. Because if I'm doing something or enjoying something, I'm not taking photos.
No,
I'm not. I'm not gonna take my phone out.
I'm just not be like that. Also, too, like I really do try and like live.
Yeah.
Not to sound like a little cliche.
No, I know. I know that some people like that's the way that they do live in the moment, but for us, like, it's really nice to be off of my phone.
Oh, I was talking about like being in the moment. Like,
no, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you went though. I think it's good for
I
us
too. Yeah.
I think. So I think that'd probably wrap it up.
I think that wraps up our episode.
Gonna be gone for a little while.
Yes.
Guys. So
when you guys are watching this will be our last episode for a few weeks.
But then stay tuned for episode 50.
We'll be back for episode 50.
We made
50.
It. Also, can we talk about, I am so incredibly proud of us.
What?
Because we have filmed straight. Like, I don't think we've missed an upload.
Yeah,
for like,
I don't think so.
49 weeks.
It's a long time.
Almost
a whole year.
You can fact check that. But
we might
have
missed maybe one or two, but.
For extenuating circumstances.
Yeah.
But like, for real, good for us. Good for us. Because
We've been very consistent.
I'm so proud of us.
Which also we kind of struggle being consistent with ancillary content that's not like main channel videos.
Can we talk about what an interesting, because basically 49 weeks ago, oh my God, when did we start? How long is 49 weeks? You know, I'm going to get us on another tangent and then I'm going to be editing this video for like ever.
Yeah.
Not really. Actually, I love editing the pods.
Anyways, so we'll be gone for 3 weeks?
The month of July. The month of July, really.
And the little bit of August, too.
Yeah, but we will be back.
Yeah, we'll be back for episode 50 with a bang, but we're taking a vacation.
Yes.
And we're giving ourselves an out to take a selfish because we thought about prepping content in advance.
It was really stressing us out because 3 weeks is a lot of also.
Well, and then we have main channel stuff and like filming the sponsorships to go with all of that and like having to get everything approved and scheduled. It's really a lot of work. So if you want to support the pod, you can like the videos and subscribe. Please. You can also join our memberships. When I'm not live streaming, obviously our membership count goes down.
Oh, do you want to talk about the announcement? Have we decided what we're doing yet?
I have not decided yet.
Oh, then we will not talk about it yet. Stay tuned for new announcements.
But if you want to support the channel, especially while I'm not able to live stream and stuff like that, because quite honestly, I don't know if I can talk for 6 hours with my fucking mouth like this. You can join the memberships. You can leave us like super thanks and all of those things. We appreciate you very much for doing that. It helps like a lot.
So. Honestly, just watching and thank you guys so much for being here. And honestly, just hanging out, the comments, the community really is like the thing we could like.
Yeah. Hanging out together in the comments and in our Discord server and all of that is like so life-giving and wonderful. So we love you all the most.
Love you all the most.
We will see you for episode 50 when we come back in August. And that's it. We'll see you next time. Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.